Sports Day for Kia.
The all-new Kia Sorento has landed. And
the Bottle-O.
For your online liquor shopping, visit shopmylocal.com.au.
Great to have your company here on Sports Day. Oh, gee, how time flies already. It's the 27th of October, and we have so much to talk about tonight. Trade Radio continues to throw up some big names. We'll canvass that in the first hour in about half an hour's time with Stephen Silvani, who's been doing a great job on Trade Radio. 922-118-82 is our number. Paul Hazelby is with me tonight. And Hayes, the GWS fairest and best has been decided. How are you?
Yeah, going well, Carl. Has it been decided? I'm still waiting for the final results, but I've got the round 14 results, and so far it looks like Lockie Whitfield will win. Haynes, Perriman up there, and fascinating is Stephen Canelio. At the 14-round mark, he was on 51 votes, which was one vote out of seventh, where Toby Green was. Now, what happened in round 17? He was dropped. Now, if you look at that, he's been well-received, really, from the coaches across the year to be in that position. One vote out of seventh, but they made that big decision. It didn't pay off. It backfired massively, but more fascination with that strange decision at the end of the year there for the Giants.
Yeah, it is unbelievable, really. Now, the Rick Charlesworth tournament is underway, the Classic out there at Perth Hockey Stadium, and the first round of matches are underway tonight. There is a doubleheader, and the second round of matches will get underway at 7:30, and just prior to his game, we'll have a chat to Jamie Dwyer, who coaches the Outbacks in that particular tournament. North Melbourne's fairest and best is tomorrow night. Do you know who wins that, Hayes?
I don't. Maybe Jai Simkin. McDonald had a very good year, actually, in the back half as well. And the ruckman, Toddy Goldstein, he keeps getting better with age.
Yeah, Geelong's fairest and best is on Thursday night. The Cricket Australia AGM is on Thursday. Hopefully we'll get one of the big players, Nick Hockley or Earl Eddings, on our program. One thing I'd like to ask them is that how forthcoming have we been in negotiations over here in Western Australia with regard to actually having any cricket played in WA this summer? Because, Hayes, right now, I am not holding out any hope whatsoever of our $1 billion, yes, that's right, $1 billion stadium. This is the hot topic. Turn unpaid invoices into cash. Do you go to scottpack.com.au? Our $1 billion stadium, which has been built with taxpayers' money, Hayes, is going to lay dormant, I reckon, until the start of next football season, whenever that might be, because we still are unsure as to whether that will get underway mid to late March next season. But, mate, we've at this point got no test cricket to be played there, no international cricket, one-dayers. We've got no domestic BBL to be played there. We've got no Bledisloe Cup action because that is all being conducted on the East Coast. The WBBL matches that we might have played if it came down to getting into a final, well, that won't be played here because that tournament is all going to be hubbed over there in New South Wales. And there'll be no internationals that we've come to appreciate when it comes to our Perth Glory and through our Tourism WA and through the state government who have been able to bring some big name teams the last couple of years, which have been very well supported by our West Australian public. None of that, Hayes, is going to happen. I mean, how does that make you feel?
A bit of sadness with that, but we can't have our cake and eat it too. We have a very good environment here when it comes to COVID-19 and a lot of businesses operating, a lot of travel still happening within our state. And you only have to look at Victoria and how tough they've done it over the last few months. Also no AFLW, you would presume, because we have had big games there, the West Coast Eagles and the Fremantle Dockers last year, a big crowd. Before that, the Dockers played Collingwood in front of about 40,000 on that occasion. So there's still a lot to play out with the AFLW season for the AFL. Then on top of that, Carl, we've been robbed of sporting events here in Western Australia. Talk about the Hotman Cup. We lost that. We got the ATP Cup, but I don't think that'll be back to Western Australia this year. The golf tournaments that were held here, the international ones, we don't see them anymore. There wasn't any netball here as well. And the basketball, I'd be interested to see what Ricky Gray says a little bit later about where that will be played out. Talk is that there could be a hub for that, maybe over there in Victoria as well, now that they have the COVID situation under control. It's going to be tough for West Aussies, but do they care? Do we care, the listeners out there? Do you want big sporting events back here? And when do you think it might start again beyond the AFL next year? I'm not sure what the next event beyond that might be, Carl, when you talk about some of those other big sports you mentioned.
Well, I want to know from our audience who are tuned in tonight and have always got opinions around this sort of scenario. I really want to hear what they would like our state government, Tourism WA, to invest in when it comes to events, and particularly around sport, to be held at a stadium, which at this point, mate, is not scheduled to have anything played at it, because I wrote an article in the newspaper about 3 weeks ago and followed up in more conversations. I think you can confirm those same conversations today, that is the next event that is proposed to be housed at that stadium. So it's going to sit there doing nothing. I mean, are you unhappy about that, audience? Do you want us to start to integrate some things back into what we would call more normality here in West Australia from a sporting landscape perspective? What would, say, be the first couple of events that you'd like to see back at the stadium that you would be prepared to put your hand in your pocket, as you already put your hand in your pocket to build it, to put your hand in your pocket to go along and enjoy? 922 118 82. And as a little sweetener tonight, our best caller is going to win a $100 Tab Touch voucher, which you can invest on next Tuesday's Melbourne Cup. Just remember, gamble responsibly. The hot topic, finance that keeps your business moving. Turn unpaid invoices into cash or access funding to keep your fleet. scottpack.com.au. We'll get to your calls after this. It's 14 minutes past 6.
Sports Day for Kia. Your new Kia Sorento has landed. And the Bottle-O. For your online liquor shopping, visit shopmylocal.com.au.
Let's get into the calls. 922-1182 if you'd like to join us tonight about the discussion around Optus Stadium and future sporting events that we might have on the horizon here in Western Australia. Mick in Judanna joins us first. G'day, Mick.
G'day, guys. Now it's coming into summer. I'd really love to see a round robin at the stadium between, say, Perth Heat versus a Yankee team, and also versus maybe a Japanese team, and play that as a round robin. We get exposure into the US and to Asia as well, and it'd be awesome to see baseball there.
Would it get the exposure into those countries? That's the big question mark for me. Yes, look, we've had events here in the past with the big soccer clubs coming over, but I'm not sure how much exposure they get from maybe from the social media and that outlet from it, but do you think that would certainly happen?
Well, winter over there, it's their off-season, so why not come down, warm weather and play, and I reckon it'd be awesome.
I think you've still got the COVID cost, and I think that's going to prevent a lot of sports teams from coming here, that you've got to isolate for the 2 weeks in quarantine, and then the testing around that, then creating the hubs that these sporting teams can also try and train in. It is a great expense that either the governing body who's bringing those clubs across, or the clubs themselves, or the state government who has to fit the bill, I think it becomes pretty hard, Carl.
Yeah, it does. And look, given the scenario in America, which, they're sitting number one on the COVID-19 charts right now, Hayes. Japan are down the page at number 40-odd in the world. They've just got under 100,000 cases of COVID-19 as we speak. So, look, these are countries, big countries, with lots of people. 126 million people live in Japan, and there's over 331 million that live in the United States of America. I'm just not so sure that would be something that the stadium, the state government, and Tourism WA would be prepared to invest in. Not right now. I'm trying to think of things that would be realistic to bring back into Western Australia. I mean, even domestic sport. I mean, could we not just have some form of domestic sport played here? For example, why can't there be a BBL hub played here? I mean, the game to be played at night, given what they're able to do with the scorches, with the furnace, with the light show and things of that nature, and cricket does shine at night at that stadium, I just don't see why there can't be a domestic BBL hub and matches be played both during the day at the Wacker Ground and at the Perth Stadium. But if we don't start to ease the 14-day quarantine period for professional sporting teams who are being tested more often than anybody that probably walks around in our society here in Western Australia, then things aren't going to change. Don's in Spearwood. G'day, mate.
Good evening, boys. Carl, you just stole my thunder, mate. That's exactly what I was going to say. And besides that, before I get on to Hayes, why don't we just go in and play what she's there? It's not doing anything. And Hayes, you and rest of the clowns in this state, just lock yourself away. Don't get out of your house for the rest of your life. You're not going to take a risk. You're not going to get hurt. You're not going to get sick. You'll live till you're 2,000. Hey? What a joke. What a joke.
What are you having a go at, Donnie?
I'm having crack at this clown that runs this state. We're 7 months of free spread, and we can't, as Carl said, why can't we have a hub at Optus Stadium? All right?
Yeah, I think the first thing that we need to do, Donnie, though, from a local perspective, from my point of view, which spreads across not only sport but to all businesses, and particularly those that are in hospitality and those that own restaurants. I've got a few mates that own restaurants and bars and so on, and look, they are still in some cases operating at say 20 people below what they can operate under a normal circumstance. So for a restaurant that would normally seat 60, they can only fit 40. And guess where the cream is? The cream's in those 20 people that they're not able to fit in their restaurant. And, you know, they're not pumping every night, but for the few nights a week that they have to operate to make ends meet and to make that profit that they need to survive, you know, for us to have not gone to the stage five, it's been delayed again. How long is it going to be delayed for? I think that, you know, for a lot of people, and I totally understand, I was one that shut down everything 6-7 months ago, but we've achieved what we needed to achieve in this state. And I don't want to rush into opening everything up and make it holus bolus, but I think that from a local perspective, I think that we should have opened up a little bit before now, and we certainly should be opening up, hopefully, to those businesses in the not-too-distant future. And what we should be doing is that we should be considering some elite sport so that we've got some entertainment to go along and see and some other entertainment. I mean, if it's not sport, we have to be utilising that $1 billion asset that at the moment everyone is laying there dormant, Hayes. I mean, That's not completely true, Carl.
There's a school ball there here tonight. School ball at the moment. There's been a school ball in recent times. A lot of big events.
I'm talking about the grass, mate, and let's face it, the school ball is going to be for how many people, right? Now we have been able to get to, you know, some football matches, 30 to 35,000 fans. And for those fans that got an opportunity to go, particularly in that last game that you and I were working at, Collingwood and West Coast, it was enjoyable. I just cannot understand why we shouldn't and can't have some Big Bash League cricket, which by the sounds of it is like the women's series, going to be played in another state. And, you know, like they've been successfully held in other states too. We've already got a really strong track record. We've got a track record with racing here in this state and in every other state around the country. We've got a track record with Super Netball, the AFL, the NRL. We've now got the WBBL being played. I mean, mate, how much of a track record do we need to have in elite sport to not have some here played in Western Australia?
And how much damage do you think this will do to our opportunity going forward when there are big events and often you do try and beat and compete with the other states for those big events? Do you think it's going to take its toll because the sporting bodies, the government bodies, will go straight to the ones that helped out the most, and WA haven't been seen to be doing that?
Well, 100% guaranteed. But I mean, it's why we don't have a golf event at the moment. It's why we have lost many other great sporting events here in Western Australia. I mean, it's got to be something that at a government level and a tourism WA level and a management level when it comes to the top end of town that wants to have these events in our state for us to go along and enjoy. Now, a lot of people might not care less about sport, and that's fine. We have plenty of other great events that are conducted throughout our state, which our state government does contribute to. But if you want to wander out yonder, and if you want to enjoy WA, and if we want to entice people to our state, then we've got to have some major events to get people here, because they're the people that are going to stay in our city hotels. They're the ones that are going to spend money outside of our local economy. So, you know, this is something that is really important to the longer term of our state. And for me, I just want to see when those negotiations come along, how we'll be dealt with. And mate, right now we'd be sitting at the bottom of the pile. I would have no hesitation in saying that right now because of the way that we have treated the sporting codes in this country. Mark joins us from City Beach. G'day, Mark.
Hey, Carl. Mate, it's actually nil point conversation. And the reason I say that is the Premier's not going to allow it to happen. It's irrelevant. He's not going to bring down the hard borders for a while. He had a great opportunity to add the AFL grand final and have some hubs here. Chose not to do it. Queensland decided to do it, and we lost the grand final, you know? And we saw how good a spectacle that was. It is a
Well, we did have some hubs here, Mark. And they were, except for a couple of blokes sneaking in girls, right? They were successful, weren't they?
Yeah, totally. Totally. That's what I'm saying. But yeah. It's irrelevant.
Well,
he's
to me,
not
mate,
going to but, allow it.
No, well, he,
he's
I mean,
not going
a,
to allow
a lot of the reason why. Well, hopefully, we can relax it just a little bit. And I think that you know the AFL needed to make a decision, and at that point, they did negotiate with the West Australian government and tourism for quite some time. My understanding was, but it was really around that 14-day quarantine from interstate travel. So for those that are coming from one state to the other, and look, you can understand it whilst it was all out of control in Victoria, but they've had a couple of days now with zero testing. I mean, surely we have to have a situation where it was relaxed in the not-too-distant future, Mark, don't we? Is he gone?
He's gone, but the sporting bodies can't cater for that, though. They can't wait for that. So with the Big Bash, I think the smartest decision is to have it over there in South Australia or the other states, because if it is relaxed a little bit, they know that they can fly around. And when you look at the Big Bash, there's a lot of repeat games. You can't afford to have a week between games where teams have to fly out and then quarantine for a week back in other states. It has to be instant to keep it going, because every night we've seen games played in the Big Bash.
Yeah, 922-1982. Alex is in Northlake. Good evening.
G'day, Carl. I'm just wondering if you noticed that news.com is reporting that the NBL start of the season, that Victoria has emerged as the favourite to host the hub to start the 2021 NBL season.
Yep, yeah, I mentioned that off the top. Yeah, so November 14th, I think they're going to give some more clarity on that. But I'm hearing late Jan, and I'm hearing that Victoria or Melbourne is the place to be where it's going to start, which is going to make it pretty hard for the Perth Wildcats and other clubs that have so many great fans. And a lot of their revenue streams are built amongst those fans and big crowds turning up to their events.
And you wouldn't expect, Hayes, unless there's going to be some hubs held here, because one thing that when we've spoken to Jeremy Lohliger and the heads of the NBL, that they have said that they want to have games played in front of fans. Now, there's no doubt that if the NBL came to Perth and had the Wildcats in a hub here against teams, that they're going to get a big number of fans at those games. So I think it's a no-brainer for them to schedule some matches here. But again, if there's 14-day quarantine periods and there's issues around that in late January, then again, it's going to create a massive hurdle for them to jump over. Let's get to Michael, just ahead of Stephen Silvani, who's going to join us after the break, everyone, on trade in the AFL. Trade Radio is where he's been working pretty hard today. Michael in Freo. G'day, Mike.
Oh, hey, Colin. Hey, just continuing the talk on about sport and hard borders, which you were discussing just now about the Wildcats. And I wanted to ask you guys that, do you think that the state government could negotiate with the FFA and with the NBL about potentially having a hub here in Western Australia, or potentially getting Wildcats and Glory home games here? Because I think the Glory promised that there's going to be 13 home games in this season. So I'm just wondering what you think about that.
Right,
yeah, again,
now,
I think there's only one team, so that plays a part too. When you think about relocation costs and hotel costs as well, there's more teams that have to come across, which is a greater expense to the NBL and the A-League as well. So that's got to play a part. And I think the crowds would be better for me in Victoria, given they haven't had much sport, so they're going to be hungry for it. And when you talk about Sydney, and they do have two teams in Victoria as well, and a bigger representation of New South Wales people that live in Victoria, I think some of those other games outside the big Melbourne United games would be better attended for mine, Carl. But over here in the West, we've only got the one team, so it makes it a little bit more difficult.
power of the population, mate, isn't it? And, you know, the Glories season gets underway December 27. Look, first things first, I think we'd have to see things like Boxing Day tests and things of that nature orchestrated first. You've got the GWS results.
Yep, fourth, equal fourth, Hopper and Kelly. In third was Harry Perriman, and we had a tie. Carl, a tie. It was Haynes and Lockie Whitfield. Nick Haynes and Lockie Whitfield, a tie to win the Kevin Sheedy medal.
Beautiful, mate. We'll clear a commitment on the other side. We'll talk some footy. Trade Radio, Stephen Silvani will join us next.
Welcome back to Sports Day. Well, the giant performance of the day has to go to this bloke for Giant Bicycles. We're still riding with you. Steve Silvani is still working. I heard him on Trade Radio early this morning, and for him, it's now getting very late over there on the East Coast, given the three-hour time difference, mate. And here you are talking to us. Thanks for your time. We appreciate it.
Thanks very much. Thanks for having us.
Now, mate, Trade Radio is, for those that don't know, on the AFL's website at afl.com.au, where you can hear Steve Silvani and the rest of the team discuss all the machinations. Mate, there's some unbelievable names bubbling around. Just take us through some of what you've heard throughout the course of today.
Yeah, no, it's. I think it's going to be a big trade period. Obviously, there's a lot happening with Adam Treloar, Brad Crouch and Ben Brown and these type of guys, and even Jesse Hogan is over your side of the town. So there's a bit happening in the AFL world.
What have you made of the Adam Treloar situation on a big deal, big money next year, and the notion of salary dumping for players going forward? Do you think they've handled themselves pretty well? Because from the outside, it looks like they've got themselves in a bit of trouble with their salary cap with a few bad decisions.
Yeah, I mean, it's always difficult. You know, Collingwood only a couple of years ago were in a premiership, in a grand final, and, you know, only lost by a kick, and you try and keep the team together and knowing that, you know, you're probably a good chance to go the distance again the following year. But, look, I think Adam, I know Adam personally, he was up at the Giants when I was up there, and he's a terrific fella and can really play some football. But I think there's some things in it right at the minute with I think it's his wife or his partner have moved to the Gold Coast, and they've got a young baby as well. So I think the Pies and Adam are trying to work through that, but I think it's been said that he may be a bit reluctant to move up there, knowing that he believes he can still play good footy while his family's up there and he's down here in Melbourne. So it's getting a little bit messy. I wouldn't like this situation to sort of drag on too much further. I think they've really got to either come to an agreement that he's going to part ways and that hopefully Gold Coast can do a deal with them if they really want Adam. But at the same time, I just don't like when players are getting forced out, and it can get messy at times.
Do you believe pick five would be good compensation from the Suns, given the amount of talent coming through now? We saw Caleb Sarong, I think, at pick seven or eight last year. Hayden Young looks like a beauty. It doesn't take them long to find their status in the game.
No, I actually said on Trade Radio, and look, I haven't really looked at what Adam's worth, but I think the Suns are on the right track in terms of they've gone to the draft again the last couple of years, and pick five's a really good pick. I think they've got to try and breed their own culture, get the young kids through the door. I think when you have a look at what they've got through the door over the last sort of 2 to 3 years, they've got some really exciting young kids. And in some ways, a little bit what I guess the Brisbane Lions did. They went to the draft for a number of years, and then they started to go and attack those players that are around the 25, 26 years of age. I don't think the Gold Coast are in that position to do that right at the minute. They've got some talent coming through, but they still need to go to the draft.
Putting your list management hat on, Jesse Hogan, as a list manager, what would you be thinking at this point? And are there any suitors from the East for a player of his talent?
Look, I think Jesse can really play. I think, you know, he proved that towards the end of the season. I think that, you know, we haven't seen the best of Jesse, but I guess, I mean, it's well documented that he's obviously had some issues along the way. Fremantle would know those issues. I still think it's probably buy beware a little bit because I can't remember too many players that have had some issues in terms of off-field that have really worked at other clubs. But having said that, you know, I think if he does change clubs, I think everything needs to be disclosed in terms of making sure that if he did go to a club, that club needs to be fully equipped to make sure they can, you know, I guess address whatever issues he may have. No surprises. But we had a discussion on Trade Radio yesterday. I remember Jesse coming through as a kid, and I just thought he'd be a fantastic centre-half back. I saw him play centre-half back as a 17-year-old, and he dominated. He's aggressive. And, you know, maybe if he did change clubs and a change of position might really invigorate him in terms of the way he plays his footy.
We're speaking to Stephen Silvani, if you've just joined us here on Sports Day, and we're talking about the Trade Radio action, afl.com.au, if you want to tune in. Now, mate, the Cats, leaving that list manager's hat on, Menegola, yep. Dangerfield, Stephen, Stanley, Tui, Dalhouse, Jenkins, Henderson, Ablett, for whose return from the Gold Coast, Rowan, all from other clubs, all mature-age players that have gone to the Pussycats. Now, they tell me they're in the market for Sean Higgins, who's a 30-plus-year-old, Isaac Smith, who's a 30-plus-year-old, and, of course, Jeremy Cameron, who's declared from the Greater Western Sydney Giants that he wants to go down to Geelong. Yep. How likely is that all three or any of those three are going to end up there?
Well, I think Jeremy Cameron will end up there as a free agent. They might have to do some type of deal with the Giants, but I'm pretty sure he'll end up there. Sean Higgins as well. And there's still strong talk here in Melbourne that Isaac Smith is weighing up whether he ends up going, either stays at Hawthorn, goes to Melbourne, or goes down to Geelong. So, what they've been able to do over the years, Geelong, is really manage their salary cap really well. What do they have to give up for these players? Well, when you look at Isaac Smith and Sean Higgins, you wouldn't think you'd be giving up too much. Probably at best, maybe second rounders. And then you've got, obviously, Jeremy Cameron, who's a free agent. Will they have to do a deal? But they got such a great deal when they traded Tim Kelly out of their club last year, I think it was. They've got first-rounders galore. I think they've got three first-rounders this year and they've got a couple of seconds. So they're in a really good position, one, to still go to the draft, but also pick up some quality players.
Sauce, what about your old club, Carlton? Let's talk about them. And Paddy Cripps, now, many would love him back here in the West. He's a star of the competition, free agent next year. Do you expect anything to happen with him? You'd know him pretty well personally, and he's a great team man, great club man as well. But how do you see this playing out?
Oh, look, I think, obviously Paddy's the captain of the Carlton Football Club and a great player. It's a difficult one. I don't know whether he'd want to go back to Perth at some point in his career, but I think a lot really probably depends on Carlton's season. I think Paddy would be expecting that the Blues play finals. It's been obviously a fair rebuild in terms of when he got to the football club, and particularly, you know, there's been some hard yards over the last probably 4 to 5 years, but I would think that he sees some light at the end of the tunnel. But there were some signs this year that suggested they were going forward. The introduction of probably Saad and also Zach Williams will certainly help the list. So a lot will depend, I think, on how Carlton seasons goes this year.
Clubs have been very successful poaching from some of the best teams, including Richmond. Jack Higgins, where do you see his future? Carlton maybe, or Essendon?
Yeah, it's an interesting one. His name sort of popped up today. Look, I think there'd be a number of clubs that would be interested in Jack Higgins, you know, as a small forward. I would think the Bulldogs would be in the market for a small forward, Carlton, even someone like St Kilda and obviously Essendon. So, often clubs will look at, those teams that have competed in the grand finals and see what's sort of left over, what players aren't getting opportunities. He's obviously won. He's played some really good footy, particularly early in his career. So it'll be interesting to see whether he wants to stay at the Richmond Football Club or whether he wants to get another opportunity elsewhere.
And Sos, last one from me. Just the trade period. It's changed a lot since you were playing, since I was playing. We've got future picks, academy picks and points and players. Do you like it? And what are some of your ideas going forward to improve the trade period?
Yeah, I think it's exciting in terms of it's just unbelievable the attention from, you know, supporters. It's just such a big time. People want to know what's happening with their football club, who's getting traded in and who's getting traded out. There's obviously some things that you would like to probably see. I'd like to see maybe, you know, the free agency side of things changed a little bit, whether it's restricted or they're all unrestricted free agents after a longer term. It's an exciting time for the clubs, and the fans really love it. Particularly in Melbourne, we haven't had a lot to talk about here. We've all been locked down, but certainly now that we've opened up here, there's a lot of talk in Melbourne in terms of what's happening at each club.
Steve, thank you very much for your time, mate. Really good pleasure to have you on the program. And we'll hear you on Trade Radio tomorrow, I'm assuming, yeah?
Thanks, guys. Yes, I'll be on Trade Radio tomorrow. And I'll be listening to you boys as well tomorrow night.
Good on you, mate. Thank you very much for your time. Steve Silvani here on Sports Day. For Giant Bicycles, we're still riding with you. What do you think, listeners? 922-1882. I'd be interested from West Coast fans. Would you like to have Jack Higgins at your footy club? I reckon the West Coast Eagles could do with another small forward, given the scenario that unfolded in that final against Collingwood. 922-1882. What do you think?
Sports Day for Kia. Your new Kia Sorento has landed. And the Bottle-O. For your online liquor shopping, visit shopmylocal.com.au.
More time for your calls, 922-1882. Some of the news that you may not have heard that's happened today. Ben Patton at the Saints, he signed a two-year deal, 16 games he played in 2020. Jeff Kennett, 3 years again as president of the Hawks. I'd love to hear from some Hawks fans tonight how they feel about that. He's been a long-time servant of the Hawthorn Football Club, Paul Hazelby.
Yeah, he's left and he came back. He's done a pretty good job, you'd have to say, in the main. Very successful club. Challenges ahead for the Hawks. I wait to see what they're going to do throughout this trade period. But big news also coming out of the grand final, Carl. Gary Ablett, the story gets better. A crack in that left shoulder, scans revealed today. So courage to come back on. Consulting his surgeon going forward. So maybe some surgery for him just to top off his career. And Brandon Parfitt, the other one who played through some pain, a broken thumb. And it looked like that too, Carl. He was fumbling all over the place. Brandon Parfitt didn't have his best day. But some interesting comments there about some of the players in the trade period. There's a few from Richmond that clubs are trying to get. Nathan Broad, maybe to the Gold Coast Suns. They're keen on him. And Jack Higgins, you mentioned whether he would be a good fit at the West Coast Eagles. Absolutely would be. Whether you paid too much for him, though, that would be the only thing for me. They do have some good forwards, though, the Eagles still, with Ryan, and Petrocelli needs to improve, but Cripps is there. Cameron as well will be an improved player in the future. And also Archie, no contract at this stage, but he was pretty good in that role as well. And Zach Langdon, of course, coming back from the Giants. So I don't think they need to get two of them, but Jack Higgins, he'd be a wanted player because he was a high draft pick. He was a class player, had the brain injury, and he's come back. He misses out this year through circumstance and a bit of bad luck at the wrong time, but there'll be plenty of suitors for him as well. What'd you make of Jesse Hogan and centre-half back? That idea, Carl, not the worst.
Well, I suppose if you have a look at how successful the scenario unfolded for Brennan Cox, and I think we've seen Tarrant at North Melbourne swing from forward to back. I mean, Glenn Jakovich did it at the West Coast Eagles. He, in his early days, started forward, and then Mickey Malthouse rolled him back and ended up winning four fairest and best under Malthouse back in the 90s. So, look, it's been done plenty of times before. I think Liam Jones is probably a really good exponent of it. You know, he was a guy that probably didn't live up to the expectation in the forward line, but he's certainly done a lot better than I thought he could in defence for the Blues these days after crossing there from the Western Bulldogs. So there's just a few examples off the top of my head, Hayes, of forwards who have gone back and swung to the back end and been able to contribute for their team.
I don't mind the idea. I think he'd be good at it. He reads the ball really well, and it takes a lot of pressure off, particularly if they do recruit him and pay a little bit for him. And, of course, Fremantle likely to pay some of that contract if it does go through, but it makes a lot of sense. Stephen Martin might not be as fortunate, though, Carl. He's been a great player really, at Brisbane. He stuck through some tough times, about to get a lick of the ice cream maybe next year. But because of what's happening with the list sizes, no certainty around whether he'll get an opportunity. And they've got some ruckmen coming through. McInerney showed a bit this year. But do you think at 34, another club might give him one more season? The Giants have been finding, or trying to find one for a long time. I know they're looking at Braden Pruce, but where do you see this one ending
up?
Well,
it depends. It depends if you need backup. And I think right now he could go to Sydney and probably be the number one ruckman, just about, because they are in a situation whereby they've had some long-term injuries. Sam Naismith did his knee again at the start of the year. I think it was Amarato was the bloke that came in. He broke down. And you've had pretty much Sinclair doing the bulk of the work. And then they've had Alier and Sam Reed pinch-hitting in that role. So, I mean, he could certainly get a contract there. That's not going to have to be big money. It's more going to be insurance than anything else. At the Greater Western Sydney Giants, I mean, other than Mumford and Jacobs, who else did they roll through in their ruck position? So, I mean, they too are probably in a similar sort of position. Do they want to go back down the track of employing an old stager, I suppose, is the question that you're going to have to ask Coach Cameron there at the Greater Western Sydney Giants. But there's a couple of clubs off the top of my head that might be able to accommodate him.
Alier, you mentioned him. Port Adelaide, an audacious bid to try and get him. He's contracted, but they want a replacement ready to replace Justin Westhoff, who's been fantastic for so long. Different roles down back, ruck, forward. He fits the bill, and they are a bit short, aren't they? When you talk about key defenders, Port Adelaide, so if they could poach him, that would be a big get. But Sydney Swans, they don't lose too many, Carl, across their time.
No, they don't. On last night, Michael, who I encouraged to send me the email of when Selwood dumps Baker after the kick and then he sticks his hand in his face on the ground, there was no comment by the commentators, was at least a free kick downfield. No reason to do that. Yep, nice pitcher. Well done, Michael. I'm not sure how forceful it is, because obviously I didn't see the action during the game during the fourth quarter with 2 minutes 58 left on the clock when the Tigers were under control. So maybe he was dirty, and yeah, it's something that should have probably been investigated a little bit further around the force, but you would have thought that the match review panel officer would have been alerted to that. And also got an email, Hayes, from a lady by the name of Joanne Stewart. She's seeking our assistance. She wants to reach out to former members of the Applecross Melville and Melville Districts Athletic Club. The club was on Canning Highway, Melville. There were many well-known athletes there, like Trevor Bickle, John Bagley, Glenn Stewart, Eva Vlahov, Kath Holland spent many years there, not forgetting our national treasure, the late and great Shirley Strickland. Now, was hoping that you and I, Hayes, could give a shout-out to our large audience to get together. They're having a get-together of officials, athletes, members and volunteers that have been involved in the club at a reunion. It's at the Raffles, Canning Highway, on Saturday, November 17 at 2 p.m. There you go, Joe. I told you I'd give you a plug. We'll clear a break. We'll be back to tell you what's coming up to 7 next.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-new Kia Sorento has landed. And the Bottle-O. For your online liquor shopping, visit shopmylocal.com.au.
Now, fast approaching the 7 o'clock news. We've got a window of opportunity for you after 7 to join in, have a chat to us about anything that has got your interest. Maybe you want to make comment about the stadium and the future of sport and what you'd like to see as maybe the first event played during our summer there, whatever that might be. Then we will cross to Jamie Dwyer, who is at the Rick Charlesworth Classic. Now, that tournament got underway at 6 o'clock. The next group of matches, which is going to involve Jamie, will get underway at 7:30 tonight. So if you want to head down to the Perth Hockey Stadium and enjoy that, you can. Ricky Grace is going to join us. We're going to chat about the state of Australian basketball and their search for a new coach, national coach, and Mark Hayes from Golf Australia, who will chat about all things golf coming up soon. News next here at 7 o'clock.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-new Kia Sorento has landed. And the Bottle-O. For your online liquor shopping, visit shopmylocal.com.au.
Nice to have your company. And if you'd like to win a $100 TAB sports betting voucher, you need to call in, ask a question, make a statement, say something about the wonderful world of sport. I had a couple of blokes having a go at Jerry last night, who rang us and said that, why does that bloke always complain? He never sounds happy, Paul Hazelby.
Which bloke?
Jerry, last night when he rang about the AFL and about a nighttime grand final and all of the other bits, which is pretty
just
much
passionate,
consistent,
isn't he? Just loves his sport, loves to be involved.
He's pretty much consistent with most of us, though. I think most of us had that bit of a sort of a theme that we spoke about last night. Hey, mate, did you read the story? I had a bit of a chuckle to myself about Jamie Wincup booted out of Queensland, his home state. He tried to cross the border without quarantining, and he and six of the others that he had in the travelling truck, mate, got sent back to New South Wales.
Yeah, I did see it on the TV this morning, so it's good that there is no special treatment up there just for sports people and famous people to get through. We've all got to abide by the same rules. But what about Cameron Smith, Carl? He's won another Best and Fairest, essentially. Player of the Year, his eighth time that he has won that at the Melbourne Storm. And given the players that he's played alongside through that period, Billy Slater, Cooper Cronk, to name a couple, that is an unbelievable achievement from an unbelievable player.
Yeah, Taylor Harris, mate, been named Young Victorian of the Year tonight, 23 years of age, achieved the honour not for her footy talents, but her selfless work off the field. She spearheaded game changes, which was something that was really, I think, heightened by the AFL and something that the AFL got right behind. She's been an unstoppable force in the boxing ring as well, Hayes, so that's a nice accolade for her.
Oh, and she's a good player too. Can't wait to see her in action. Full pre-season. I think she's going to be a star of the AFLW competition if and when it gets started, Carl. That's the next one we probably need to discuss and find out more. But that's going to be a challenge given a lot of these girls, they have their regular jobs, and to go away for a month or two be pretty difficult. And on the back of last year where Fremantle and a few of the other teams didn't get a chance to finish off that season, did you expect this one to go ahead? We've still got a bit of time. February is normally the start date for them.
Yeah, I don't know, mate, to be honest. I'm not holding my breath, but I hope so. Look, I do really hope so. I think that, you know, it's important for the progression of the girls and for those that have been selected and have been training as hard as they can to make sure they can put on a show. Speaking of putting on a show, the Western Force, mate, they just keep on signing players. Today,
who this time?
Well, an Australian international seven-star, Tim Anstey, to a two-year deal. He's only 23. He's a flanker. He's played a really strong domestic season so far in the Shoot Shield. He'll be in the grand final, which is going to be played this weekend in the decider of that competition. But he's burst onto the scene in the World Sevens in 2016. He's a key member of our national team, scored over 20 tries. He's 23 caps under his belt. He made his presence felt against Scotland, where he scored a hat-trick in the 2017 Sydney's tournament. So, look, the Force just keep on announcing player after player after player. I'm just waiting for the announcement that they're going to be part of a national competition, which I'm assuming, Hayes, is going to include not only the five teams here in Australia, but the five teams across the ditch over there in New Zealand. And I just wonder what sort of format that will take and as to whether we'll see any of the Super Rugby played here in Western Australia as well.
Well, they'd all have to have clause in their contract just in case it doesn't happen, because it is a good list. And outside of that competition, it's going to be very hard for them to resurrect global rapid rugby, which really didn't get started. But it's enormous. And given how competitive they were in the competition this year, they probably just lacked a little bit of top-end talent to get it done in the moments. But I think it's going to be promising for them. And that would be fantastic, because the supporters here in WA have done it pretty tough. What about the Big Bash, Carl? They're going to be missing one of the biggest names in the sport. AB de Villiers won't be playing this year for the Brisbane Heat. Played last year, didn't impact the season too much, but he didn't rule out coming back down here for another season in the future. But the spin whiz, Mujib Urrahman, he was picked up again by the Brisbane Heat. He's the second-ranked player in the world, T20 bowler in the world. So that is exciting, and I think the Big Bash is going to be well-received this year all of a sudden. There was talk going back couple of months about the big names, but with three imports and some of the stars that are coming after the IPL, it gives themselves every chance, and hopefully with Channel 7 and the broadcast, they can make it work and everybody's happy, because it was a fantastic product for so long.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And look, I just hope that they can rekindle the fire in the tournament. I think that, look, the one thing for me is that you've got to try and, I don't know how you orchestrate this. I mean, we were able to do it in short form games when we have charity matches. You end up that they make them close. It means that you've got to take them off the betting agencies, because this is one thing that really counts there. But it's about fun and it's about entertainment. And you can still, I think the EJ Witten game, which you've been involved in for many years, and as I have, I've played my last game. You might still be able to roll out for a couple more, I reckon. But the reason that people come along to that to watch the greats play is that it's fun and it's close to the very end. And I don't know whether there's something that can be done to orchestrate some closer finishes, but there was too many games last year, Hayes, that were done and dusted real early, and that's the concern for me. They've got to try and rectify that, which is very, very difficult.
And we had a good discussion last week about the close games in the AFL, and I think, you know, you like the low-scoring ones, but that's what low-scoring delivers in the AFL, a lot of close ones, and with that does come a fair bit of excitement as well. But how do you orchestrate that, Carl? Is it a matter of, you know, maybe teams batting twice, but then you are changing the fabric and it becomes a little bit Mickey Mouse again, that you get to the halfway mark and you change over, maybe 10 overs, so you know where you are and it gives you every chance to catch up in the match. But you're right, when it does go pear-shaped for a team and, you know, they lose early wickets and the other team gets it done in 10 overs, it's not as enjoyable and the crowd don't get as much out of it.
No, well, as I said, I'd really like to have a chat to a couple of the heads, one or the other, whether it's Nick Hockley or Earl Eddings. We did contact Cricket Australia today, and we were hopefully given an opportunity to have a chat to one of them after the AGM on Thursday is conducted, to just really find out what the landscape looks like for Cricket Australia, what direction they're going to head in, where we're going to have a few of the cricket. Future cricket schedules actually played, and are we going to see our Australian teams? I think at the moment, I think in February, they're still scheduled to head to South Africa whilst playing a test series in another country. So we've got a one-day team playing in one country and a test team, I think it's against New Zealand, playing in another. So it's certainly going to stretch our resources and domestically going to put a fair bit of pressure on our Sheffield Shield cricket. But we need a clearer commitment. On the other side, we're going to come back and we are going to have a chat to Jamie Dwyer here on Sports Day.
Welcome back to Sports Day. News headlines, car sales number one for cars. It's great to have Jamie Dwyer on the program. Part of the Rick Charlesworth Classic Tournament. The action is underway and we have a big game coming up at 7:30. A match where you can get down to at the Perth Hockey Stadium right now, because Jamie and his team, the Outbacks, will be in action. Jamie, welcome, mate. How are you going?
Yeah, going well, thanks.
Good to have the very, very best Western Australian men and women playing in this tournament. Got underway on Sunday. I noticed, though, that you were on the wrong side of the ledger on Sunday.
Yeah, it was a disappointing performance on Sunday. We tried a few different things. That's one thing I wanted to get out of this tournament, was to expose the guys to different styles of play, something that, you know, I've experienced over in Europe and what I've seen internationally, rather than just the normal style we play here in Perth. But, we played all right. But, yeah, unfortunately, we couldn't get a goal in and we lost 1-0.
Four teams, the Suns, the Highlanders, the Outbacks, the Breakers. You're one of the coaches. How was the selection process? What was your thought process going through that?
It was pretty hectic, actually. It was it was pretty fast and furious. There was a bunch of names up on the wall that we... Oh, sorry, in our notes that we could pick. Some guys came in late, some guys pulled out late, so I had to change plans right at the last minute, and so did a few other coaches, but it was really good fun. I personally really enjoyed it, to be a part of that experience, and I thought I got a really good team, and hopefully we put in a good performance in a few minutes.
Yeah, still time to do that, but what about some of your players? Are they enjoying this little experience?
I hope so, yeah. It's been pretty rushed. We had quick three training sessions before our first game on Sunday, and then, now it's into sort of game mode, which is good, which is the fun part. But so far, I think the whole experience has been unbelievable and a great initiative from Hockey WA to do this, because I guess they didn't have to do it because the season's over, but because there's no Hockey One this year, which is the national competition, they've put together this tournament, and it's great fun. It's really good, and it gives a lot of talent, a lot of opportunity to play some high-quality hockey.
Yeah, and to mix and rub with some of the very best, including yourself, I reckon that would be something they might not tell you, but I reckon they'd be enjoying that opportunity. Look, Hunter Baynard and George McGeo, who are your keepers tonight, do you rotate them? Do you let one go at it? How do you work it, Coach?
Well, Sunday, Hunter plays for my club, YMCC, and he's a very good field player. So on Sunday, Hunter played on the field, and we just used George in the net. But tonight, Hunter will get a go in goal with George. I'm undecided yet. Probably be
three quarters for George and a quarter for Hunter, depending on the game situation.
What about here in WA? Who are some of the youngsters that have been impressing you that maybe be the next Jamie Dwyer?
Yeah, there's a lot around. I also do a little bit of coaching for the Western Australian Institute of Sport, so it's the best under, you know, 18 to 22, 23-year-olds that in this country, in this state. They have a good bunch, that's for sure, so I can't just name one. I guess in my team, I've got three probably big potentials that are like 21, 22 years of age that could play for Australia. One's Tom Harvey, his brother plays in the Australian team already, and then James Collins and Alistair Murray all played Australian juniors, and yeah, they're good, but they're at that level now. They need to really kick on and get into the Australian squad and hopefully show the coaches and the selectors that they're up to it.
Jamie, I always tell people that you're one of the greatest sports people of all time. I saw you at the Olympics when you're in your prime, and the difference between you and many of the other players was quite great. What about coaching? You just mentioned you've been doing a bit with the youngsters. You're doing this. Are you getting the hunger and the appetite to maybe take it further?
Yeah, I am, I must admit. When I retired, when you play international hockey, it's hard to replace that feeling you get game day. You know, you still can't get that same feeling of putting on your shirt and going out there and, you know, testing yourself against the best opponents in the world. But you get that same sort of feeling as a coach where it's really competitive and you want to win. And, you know, the game strategy and how you're going to approach different players, etc. So, yeah, I'm getting the buzz. I didn't want to rush into it too early. I wanted to give myself a bit of a break and get away for a little while and concentrate on my own things and spend a bit more time with my family. But after the last week and a half, I've really enjoyed it, and yeah, it's definitely something I want to do in the future.
Righto, mate. Give us a score. What do you reckon you're going to win by tonight?
I reckon 4-2 we're going to win tonight. I've got a good feeling about tonight's game. The youngsters, we got an average age of about 17 up front, so maybe they're a little bit nervous in the first game, but I think their nerves are all gone. They're ready to let loose tonight, so hopefully we'll score some goals and we'll win 4-2.
Now, will that be good enough then? Because there's more action, of course, with the Suns and the Breakers on Thursday night, but will that be good enough to get you into the grand final, you reckon, on Sunday?
We just have to win both games, pretty much, so we have to, obviously, tonight we have to win, and then on Saturday we play Des King's team, which is the Suns, and we just need to beat them. And if we win our next two games, I'm confident we'll be in the final.
Beautiful, mate. Thank you for sharing a few minutes with us just ahead of game time tonight. Really appreciate it, and good luck.
Thank you very much, guys. Cheers.
Jamie Dwyer, the Rick Charlesworth Classic Tournament. Great little innovation, Hayes, and let's hope that it does give a few of these aspiring hockey players that we've got here in Western Australia the opportunity to progress their game, and certainly to do it in an environment with the quality of player and coach like Jamie Dwyer is a wonderful opportunity.
Absolutely. You mentioned the players, but also for him, I was happy to hear that he might go down that path in the future, because he's one of the greatest talents our country's ever seen when you talk about sport, not just hockey, and I'm sure he's got a lot of knowledge to share, but sometimes you need to get away and the game finds you again, and it sounds like he's got that bug again to come back and coach. And I think if he wants to do it, there's higher accolades that will come his way.
Mate, unbelievable. Gold medal at Athens, a couple of bronze at Beijing and London, and a six-time Champions Trophy gold medalist, a couple of silvers as well in 2003 and 2007 in Kuala Lumpur. Great to have Jamie Dwyer on the program. For Car Sales, a car sells every minute on Car Sales. We'll clear a commitment on the other side. Speaking of legends, Ricky Grace, former Wildcat star, will join us next. Welcome back to Sports Day. Sports update for Sullivan Logistics. Three votes for storage and overnight freight. They never say no. As a man that has just been thrust back into a major role here with basketball in this country after a sensational career with our Perth Wildcats, Ricky Grace is the man I'm talking about. Welcome, Ricky.
Thank you. Thank you. It's nice to be here.
Now, mate, I was not surprised to see you included as a selector for the next head coach of basketball in our country for the Boomers. How do you feel about being given that opportunity?
Well, it's basically a privilege to be a part of the selection panel. And it's a really important process. So this very thorough recruitment process has taken place and the head coach is appointed. So it's a incredible privilege and one that I take really, you know, seriously and honored to be a part of.
What about the state of basketball then in Australia, mate, given what's gone on with COVID-19, getting our very best players together? I mean, whoever the coach is going to be, it's going to be a pretty difficult state of affairs to kick things off. And who knows what's going to happen between now and the next Olympic Games, which, of course, got postponed until 2021.
Yeah, man, it's going to be a tough, and I don't envy the talents of any sporting coach trying to pull off any sort of competition. You know, you've seen some codes around the world do it very well, but it's definitely going to be a challenge to not only for the coaches, but just for the athletes to be able to perform at, you know, top level, for the teams to be able to gel at top level, and just to pull it off safely. So I don't envy whoever's going to be involved in the whole process.
Mate, we've had a new team just introduced into our National Basketball League competition, the Jack Jumpers, which are going to be housed down there in Tasmania, which is wonderful to see this game expand. It's certainly grown a lot from the days back in the early 90s when you were strutting your stuff.
Yeah, it's grown, but it was still pretty popular back then. But yes, there has been a great, I guess, growth sport in regards to basketball internationally and the worldwide appeal of the NBA, and you definitely have a wider appeal internationally. Back in my day, you know, we only knew of probably Michael Jordan and one or two NBA teams, but now with the NBA being so popular and the sport being so popular internationally, well, you see much more participation and much more recognition of the code on the international stage, on the NBA stage, and the National League here still does very well too, which is on a resurgence.
No, it was the number one ticket in town when I was growing up, and Ricky Grace was the biggest name in the country. But before you were an Aussie, Ricky, you're an American. Heading towards the Olympic Games, how do you feel the big-name NBA players will approach it? Do you think they'll come, or do you think, given their circumstances with their season, the uncertainty around that and hubs, do you think they'll put their best team out on the park at the Olympics if it goes ahead?
Well, I can't make any predictions because, you know, we're just uncharted territory. So if we were talking about a normal Olympic Games, well, then that would be one conversation. But this will be an Olympic Games and Olympic preparations like no other. So to my knowledge, the NBA hasn't even made a decision on whether they will accommodate to make it a possibility for the NBA guys to even play in the Olympics, because the seasons may be going on at the same time. So, you know, we just have to, you know, sit back and wait and see how all of that unfolds, because it's so much uncertainty still at this point today.
We could have a Boomers coach with no players to coach because there's so many Aussies over there in the NBA that might not be forthcoming as well. But what about the upcoming NBL season? What are you hearing? I'm hearing maybe late Jan is the start date, which would obviously make it a possibility for some hubs. I've heard maybe Melbourne as well. Do you think the season can go ahead in that format, given how important the fans are, particularly to the Wildcats here in Perth?
Yeah, we have the greatest fans. Our membership is still above 10,000, you know, well and truly double any other club in Australia. And I feel for our fans. But if it's one thing we can count on, that is we can count on our fans to be there in whatever shape or form is allowed for them to be. So we're very fortunate over here in the West just to be, I guess, driving around and operating the way we are right now. And if that's one sort of a negative or one sacrifice we have to make for the sake of humanity, I'm sure our Wildcat fans will do that, you know, just to make sure everybody's safe. But, you know, I feel for Wildcat fans, but, you know, I just watched the NBA playoffs and I sort of enjoyed it. You know, it wasn't the same, but something was better than nothing, and I hope the NBL and the National League are able to provide us something rather than nothing.
What about the Perth Wildcats, mate? Ever since you won championships with the Perth Wildcats, they have made finals. They've made finals in every single season in which they've participated. I mean, mate, it is absolutely remarkable what your club and now this club has been able to achieve.
Absolutely remarkable. You know, when I finished my 16-year career and I sat back and looked at, you know, the fact that the team that I was running made the finals in every year of those 16 years is something that I was very proud of, because it shows a consistent model of excellency, and that's something that I always try to give to the people of Perth. I used to see those kids coming to the games in that Wildcat gear. And as you say, I'm from America, and I'm a real Dallas Cowboys fan from America. And I can remember as a Cowboys fan, I used to cry when the Cowboys lost. And I didn't want any of my fans crying. So I was very proud of the fact that if you supported the Wildcats and me, well then, you know, 80% of the time, you would walk away happy.
Six-time MVP when you played Ricky for the club. Bryce Cotton has, I think, won three of them now. We are yet to launch into a new season. Thankfully, he's going to return and be part of our Perth Wildcats. Do you reckon you could beat him if you played on him?
I got him, bro. I got him right now. Where is he?
I expected nothing less from you.
He is amazing. I'm so happy and blessed, and we are, as West Australians, happy and blessed to have this man, because he is an NBA player. He's a world-class player, and we're very lucky to have him. I actually appreciate the conversation, because, you know, without Bryce Cotton, we wouldn't be having some conversations about me. So I'm thankful that Bryce is such the great player as he is. He's, you know, even a better person. So, you know, it's just a pleasure to watch and be involved in that whole conversation.
Mate, what makes him so good from your perspective as, you know, a bloke who's played the game at the highest level like you did?
He don't miss. He don't miss. You can't, you know, you can't leave him open. And he has a great set of teammates, you know, that actually – put him in his best positions to succeed as well. So you can't forget about the great coaching that Trevor does. You can't, you know, forget about, you know, his teammates that definitely are happy to assist to put him in the best positions to succeed. But the man is just one of the best shooters I've ever seen. And he keeps himself in amazing shape, you know, I wouldn't want to go against him, you know, because he's just an amazing, amazing player.
Mate, you're an amazing player in your own right, and we do again congratulate you on the role that you've got choosing the next coach of our country. Thank you very much for reminiscing and sparing a few minutes with us tonight here on Sports Day. It's been our pleasure to have you on the show. Ricky, take care.
Absolutely my pleasure. Thank you, guys. You take care.
Ricky Grace, absolute legend at our Perth Wildcats, and Sullivan Logistics, your trusted storage and overnight freight expert. Sullivan Logistics are in it for the long haul. Stay with us. After this, we'll get into a discussion with Mark Hayes. There's a lot going on in the golfing world. We'll talk about that next. Let's get into our Golf Australia update. Sign up your kids for golf at mygolf.org.au. Mark Hayes joins us. Welcome, Hazy.
Yeah, Carl, nice to chat to you again.
Now, mate, just tell us a little bit about My Golf. Do you know much about this for the kids?
Yeah, absolutely. It's the, pardon me, it's the national beginners thing for kids aged 5 to 12. So it's a program that has been launched nationally 5 or 6 years ago, and it's gone gangbusters. And it's with the help of the PGA, some community instructors, and it's all about making golf fun and accessible for kids aged 5 to 12. And last year, it's just sort of, if you think about it like Oz kicks for golf, that's the best thing we could probably equate it to, and for everyone listening. And I think also the numbers reached 50,000 nationally last year, and we were on track to go past that comfortably this year. until we had a little setback called COVID. But things are progressing well, and it's great. It's a great little system for kids to feel what the sport can be all about.
Yep, it's so important to keep them coming through because they all want to be like Cam Smith. He was pretty good across the weekend in the Zozo Championship.
He was, Hayes. He was impressive, even more so given that he's starting to build towards the Masters. I think maybe it was 3 years ago, stormed home and finished fifth at Augusta National. And I think he's been struggling, if I'm going to be blunt about it, since we returned from COVID. He hasn't had the magic that he had earlier in the year. And I think it's really timely that he's starting to show a bit of form here before he gets back to Augusta, where his game's really suited. a lot of premium there on wedges and putting, and that's his strength. So if he can continue this form, it's really high hopes for when we get to that sort of crazily placed on the calendar Masters.
Mark Leisham tied for 70th. Jason Day tied for 60th. Brad Kennedy, a good performance, tied for 41. Tell us more about him.
That's the one. That's the most amazing story of the golf week for Australia, really. Brad Kennedy, who is based in Japan for the last couple of years and has done really well. He's nearly won the Order of Merit up there the last 2 years. Won the New Zealand Open in March, and then literally, and I mean this, he literally did not pick up a stick from March until he went and played this tournament this week over in the States. So practice be buggered. He's just gone out there and just teed it up and gone whack against the best players in the world. And I think one really interesting thing to come out of that, Hayes, was that John Rahm, who, as you know, has had a great run in the last few months, including reaching number one, actually reached out to Brad Kennedy for some putting tips at the end of the tournament, which is quite staggering, really.
Across the country, another Queenslander, Kath Kirk, sensational on top of the world's women's circuit.
Yeah, amazing what she's doing, age 38, Carl. Another top 10, I think that's four in the past 6 weeks for her. And a new tournament that was cobbled together by the LPGA Tour, but her game's just gone from strength to strength this year and showing no signs of slowing down and actually leading the way for a few of the young girls, which is a bit of a surprise. But good to see Sue Oh in good form as well. It's the first time for her up in the upper echelon for a few weeks, so that's a good result for her.
We're seeing a few of the domestic competitions being played. It was the NT PGA Championship, and close one, Aaron Pike just beating Michael Sim.
Yeah, look, I'm still more than happy to call Michael Sim a West Australian. You guys would still claim him, wouldn't you?
Absolutely.
Yeah. We claim everyone, mate, that's born in WA.
Yeah. Well, he's based in Queensland at the moment, but I still call him a WA boy, and he did really well to charge back at Aaron Pike. But Pikey, who's a, I think, born and bred Territorian, he sort of finds an extra leg up there. I think it's probably the second time he's won up there in a couple of years, or in 3 years. So a good effort by Aaron Pike to keep Michael Sim at bay. Unfortunately, though, it's probably the last tournament on the Australian PGA Tour until January now. So it's really disheartening when you say that out loud from my perspective, because normally we'd be getting really excited about all the things we've got coming up. But having had that run of tournaments in WA and now Northern Territory, we're actually done for a while. And unfortunately, we don't have the bigger events on the schedule.
No, and look, we spoke to Brett Rumford and we spoke to Jared Felton after they played the tournaments here in Western Australia out there in Kalgoorlie, and then, of course, the WA Open that was played at the Royal Fremantle Golf Club. Look, the one thing that I was surprised by, Hazy, was the lack of effort to try and get at least one of our major Australian tournaments for both men and women. I would have liked to have seen our Australian Opens played, even if it meant it was only played by the best golfers here in Australia if none of the others were prepared to come.
Yeah, it's a really interesting thing. I don't think lack of effort's the right description for it, with all due respect. It's been front of mind for a lot of people for a long time here over the winter. But the problem with what you're saying, which is, pardon me, the problem with what you're saying is to have a tournament of any note without being sort of an asterisk in the future when people look back on it, you need to have that the financial support and all the infrastructure around it. And it's very hard to sell a tournament to sponsors or to media or, you know, a TV station if there's basically the equivalent of us three going out and having a whack. Nothing really to appeal to the masses, if you know what I mean. So it's a real snowballing effect. Once you don't have access to, you know, a Cam Smith or an Adam Scott or a Tiger Woods or whatever it might, the case might be on the men's side, and all the top women in Adelaide for the Women's Australian Open. It sort of snowballs, unfortunately, and it's hard to generate this sponsorship. But I honestly don't think, Carl, that you want to have, a real asterisk on the Australian Open winner if it was to be that way. I just think we'd end up with something that didn't look good for an historically significant tournament.
Righto. So that being said, we've got zero cases for the last couple of days in Victoria, which is sensational for all of our Victorian friends. We've had zero cases in a large number of our other state and territories here in Australia. Why wouldn't the world's best golfers, including Australia's best golfers that are overseas, why wouldn't they want to come back and quarantine maybe in one of those beautiful golf resorts where all the other codes have been hosting themselves in the last few months? Why wouldn't they want to do that? Can you give me one good reason why?
Yeah, they won't want to sit still for 14 days before each tournament, so basically commit 21 days to a tournament that doesn't pay nearly as much as some of the ones they can play overseas in that period of time. It's unfortunate reality of the situation is that the quarantine restrictions aren't going away and the borders aren't open yet. So I can't imagine large-scale travel until we get that vaccine going. And I did hear the other day... we were on our podcast, we were talking about the expense of making tournaments COVID safe. And before you tee anything up, give out any prize money, do anything else, it costs in excess of $200,000 for every week you run a tournament in a COVID safe manner. And I'm, as much as I want to think that Australian golf has the capacity to dole that money out and just, you know, wear it on the chin, that's just totally impractical when we're playing for purses that are less than that on most weeks of the PGA Tour of Australia. So, look, it's a really tough one, Carl, and I can see your point, and I'm sure many share it. But the logistics of actually doing it.
Just let me add a bit more to it. I mean, we've got cricketers flying in from all over the world playing in a Big Bash tournament, and they've now extended it from 2 to 3 internationals. So we've got even more coming in.
Yeah, well, and that's good. Well and good if they're here for 6, 8, 10, 12 weeks, and they can afford the quarantine period, and they're not disrupting their earning capacity for the 2 weeks before they arrive in Australia. Same can apply to the Indian Test team that's touring on the men's side of things, or the New Zealand women's team that's been here for the last few weeks. They're more than happy to prepare themselves for a couple of weeks through the quarantine period or training in a bubble while they're preparing for the series that are ahead. That's not practical for the golfers, unfortunately.
Hazy, given there's not going to be much golf for a lot of the second tier, the third tier players here in Australia, what effect do you think that may have long term for a few of these golfers that now have to really decide about their future?
Yeah, that's a really pertinent question, I think. And the problem of for the men and the women on the Australian PGA Tour and the ALPG Tour is that the two Opens and the PGA that were cancelled, they actually provide the bulk of the income for many of the players on both those tours for the year. And without access to that cash, are they able to continue to attend tournaments next year? That's the big problem. So for a lot of the men and women at the crossroads of their career, and maybe they're just hanging on and trying to catch lightning in a bottle and have that big week that propels them onwards, option might not be there much longer if they can't find a way to make ends meet off the course.
Yep, it's a real shame. But the guys at the top end, they get a chance to impress at the US Masters. Adam Scott, will he be okay recovering from his coronavirus? And who do you think is going to be the best?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a fascinating tournament. I understand that Scotty's in relatively good health around COVID. He's been, to my understanding, he's been asymptomatic and just doing the right thing by quarantining and staying out of the limelight there, but I understand that he'll be back. His practice regime's probably not going to be what he would like it to be, but he'll be probably the leading contender for Australia again. Although I think that the Masters course suits a lot of the Aussies. I think we can expect to see good runs from, we mentioned Cam Smith. I think if Jason Day can stay fit, Mark Leishman hasn't been in the best of form, but he likes it around there too. But I think the big talking point when we get there is going to be Bryson DeChambeau again, because he's cracking out the 48-inch driver, which is 2.5 inches longer than anything going around. And the rumours have it, boys, that he's actually driving the ball. And I think he actually put it on his Instagram the other day that he's knocked a couple out over 400 yards now. So he's going to make the long par fours incredibly short. He's bulked up again a bit more, and he's using the longer driver, and he's without the rough. That's a real problem in the US Open. Augusta, it's going to be fascinating to see how it stands up to this just flat-out attack by Bryson DeChambeau.
It'd be nice to get him back here to Western Australia. And we have been having a chat tonight about the lack of events from all sports here in WA and the uncertainty around that. And golf has had its challenges here in WA. Hazy, when do you expect the next big tournament to come back to Western Australia? Do you see that in the next 3 to 5 years?
Well, I mean, to me, as a, I guess, a sporadic visitor to Perth, which is unfortunate because I love it, I would like to think that you guys have got the courses and the infrastructure to host a very big tournament on a regular basis. But, you know, particularly courses like Karrinup have got a great reputation with the players and spectators and sponsors and everything alike. So, look, to answer your question, I can't foresee one in the next 18 months, but I could definitely see the day when, you know, it became... there was an event that was back on the tour that made it possible for the European tour to swing through Perth and maybe on the way to Melbourne or Sydney or vice versa on the way back to an Asian destination. I just think Perth's logistically a sound idea for the European tour or maybe the Asian tour, and it's too good a golfing city to be off the radar of the Australian golf as well.
Hazy, nice and comprehensive, mate. So thank you very much for sharing some time with us tonight, mate. Take care.
Pleasure. Thanks, boys. Pleasure.
Mark Hayes from Golf Australia. And ever wished your parents got you into golf earlier? 5 to 12-year-olds, you can sign up kids at mygolf.org.au. And the all-new game-changing Kia Sorento has landed. You can find out more at kia.com.au. We'll finish off with On This Day next here on Sports Day and tell you what's coming up tomorrow. Welcome back to Sports Day. We finish off with On This Day for Barra and O'Day because the little things are everything. Glenn Hoddle, born in London, England in 1957, 63 today. English soccer manager and player and played for Tottenham Hotspur and French club Monaco. Mark Taylor's birthday today. He's born in Leeton in New South Wales. Tubby is 56. Australian cricketer, TV commentator, former captain of the Australian team. He played his first game for Australia at the SCG against the West Indies in January 1989, and he retired a decade later in 1999. He became the team's captain in 1994. And it's David Warner's birthday today. Born in Paddington in Sydney. He's 34 today. He became vice-captain of Australia across all forms of the game in August 2015. He became the first Australian cricketer in 132 years to be selected for a national team in any format without experience in first-class cricket. He scored his 13,000th run at international cricket, and of course he was suspended along with Steve Smith and Cameron Bancroft due to a ball tampering situation. We'll just describe it as that back in 2018, of course, March 2018. Gee, how time flies. And also on this day, Bulldog Zane Cordy celebrates his birthday for Barron O'Day. Don't miss out on the little moments because the little things are everything. Tomorrow night, Hayes, we'll have Willie Pike on the program. Looking forward to having a yak to him. He's got the ride on Steel Prince that won the Geelong Cup.
And he's still going well when you talk about the winners for jockeys in the overall leaderboard through the spring carnival. He's right up there, Carl. A few more wouldn't hurt, though.
Adam Voges, our West Australian cricket coach, will join us, as will Brett Phillips, to update all of the action when it comes to the tennis. And Rob Beaver, who is our resident expert when it comes to the NBA, he will join us as well tomorrow on the program. We look forward to your company from 6 o'clock. We'll see you then.